We pray. Gracious Lord, we are so incredibly grateful that you have preserved your revealed word in our midst, that you have captured these historical moments from the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit that you have given to us might help us to understand that which you would have us take from these moments, from these stories, that would bring strength and transformation to us this day. So Lord, may you free us of any distractions and may you fill us with your Spirit that we may learn, even if only incrementally, to follow you and to walk in the steps that you lead us in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we dive right into our text this morning, I want to give just a little bit of context from Mark's gospel of what has preceded that which we're going to look at today. So in chapter 5, we've seen some incredible moments, and in chapter 6 on the front end, some very incredible moments from the life of Jesus as he lives his ministry out in the world. The first incredible one to speak to is Jairus' daughter, who was a temple ruler. She died and passed away, and Jesus comes to Jairus' house, and he raises her from death to life. He delivers resurrection to Jairus' daughter. Incredible, incredible moment and encounter through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And before that happened, as Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, his road is interrupted by this amazing woman who is filled with faith, and she's had an ailment that has plagued her for 12 years. She's had a hemorrhage and she's been bleeding. She spent all of her money, all of her resources trying to get the healing that her body needed for that affliction. And filled with such faith, she says, if I can just get near enough to Jesus, if I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, the tassel, the cord of his garment, I have no doubt I will be made well. Well, she gets close enough, and it seems that she dives kind of almost on the ground, kneeling to reach through the crowd that is all around Jesus, and she touches the hem of his garment, and she knows immediately that this affliction, this bleeding she has dealt with, is over. Incredible. Jesus stops knowing something has happened, and he asks, who's touched him? And the disciples are like, you're crazy. You're in a crowd. All sorts of people have touched you. But he knows someone has clung to him in faith and has been made well. And he highlights this woman's faith-filled trust in who he is. We then move on, and Jesus has incredibly fed over 5,000 people. He's been teaching. The people are tired. They're not near any In-N-Out burgers or Chick-fil-A's. They're hungry, and he says, we need to give these people something to eat before they make their journey home. And they bring these limited resources to him, of 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus takes this, blesses it, raises it up to the Father in heaven, and over 5,000, more likely than not, 10,000 plus people are fed, and there's 12 baskets of leftovers. Then there's Jesus doing what only Jesus seems to be able to do. He walks on water. And you get the impression that he's going to reveal his majesty to his disciples who are already in the boat, already fighting the wind to get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And as he draws near to them, they see him. They scream like little school children out of fear, believing it's a ghost. And Jesus goes from revealing his majesty to the disciples to revealing his mercy to the disciples and telling them, don't be afraid, it's me. and they calm, peace returns, and they get to the other side. So I want to talk about what happens on the other side, because while it's part of our reading today in the gospel, it's the part that always seems to get neglected because it's not nearly as cool as Jesus walking on top of the water. But it's an important thing that we don't want to pass over, and we want to spend a few moments looking at. And so if you have your Bibles open, you're welcome to turn to Mark 6, verses 53 to 56. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran about the whole neighborhood and began to bring sick people on their pallets to any place that they heard he was. And whenever he came in villages, cities, or country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. As many as touched it, that is, the fringe, were made well. So here's what caught my attention in these verses. Anyone or as many as touched the fringe of his garment were made well. What is it about the tassels and cords at the bottom of Jesus' robe? I was left to wonder, what's this all about? What do these cords mean? Are we being taught anything? We had it in the woman who had been bleeding. She touched it and is made well. And now we have Mark telling us, who was really one who followed Peter around in his ministry. So he's hearing this story right from Peter. And so Peter is telling him, as many as the people who touched the tassels of his garment, they were all made well, everyone who touched it. So what is it about this that we're trying to better understand? Well, we know a few things, right? We know it's not magic. We know that these tassels aren't like people who carry a rabbit's foot around for good luck. So what is it? Why are they even on Jesus' clothes? Well, how many of you ever in your life use post-it notes, sticky notes? Anyone? Now, why do we use sticky notes, right? So we don't what? Forget, right? They're to remind us of something. You know what it's like, particularly from a guy's perspective. If you open the fridge, there's this awesome cake in there, and then it's got a sticky note, and it says what? Don't touch this. This is not for you. This is for somebody else's birthday, right? Leave it alone. You can go into people's offices, and around their whole computer screen, you'll see sticky notes, right? Here's all the things that they need to remember. You have some people who make task lists. They write out every task for the day so that they don't forget to do any of these tasks. I remember one moment with a sticky note in my young life as a father. My daughter, who's been born, my wife and I, we only have one child, that's it. And so, you know, there's always an overreaction for everything when it's your first child. By the fourth one, you're like, just don't get hurt too bad, right? But the first one, you go overboard, right? And so I remember when our daughter was born, and maternity leave was over, paternity leave was also over, and it was time to get back to life, and that also meant that I would be driving our daughter to the church where I worked because she would be going to that infant preschool care that we had there. And so I remember getting into my car to drive her to school for the first time, and there was a sticky note on my on the steering wheel. And it wasn't written by me. It was written by my wife. Any idea or guess what it might have said? Don't forget that your daughter's in the back seat. It was the first time I was ever going to drop her off without the supervision of my little helper, my wife. And she had her concerns and worries about whether I would just go into the office like normal and forget there's a kid in there. Well, God knows this about you, and He knows this about me, and this actually, believe it or not, has something to do with the cords and the tassels that Jesus had on His robe. In Numbers chapter 15, God instructs all the sons of Israel, all the men of Israel, when they wear this robe, to put a tassel, four tassels, one on each corner of the robe, and in that tassel there would be this blue cord that was kind of woven into the tassel. And it was for one thing, for the people of Israel, the sons of Israel, and the women of Israel to remember. To remember every time they saw this tassel, they were to remember three things. Remember the law of God, most likely not all 613 laws, but the Ten Commandments. Remember His law, do it, and third, don't follow your own heart or what your eyes see, because you have proven that they don't want to do the things God wants you to do. Remember the laws, do them, and don't follow your own heart or eyes. This is what He wanted them to remember. So Jesus, as the Son of Israel, is dressed just like God has asked His people to be dressed. But there's something different, isn't there? Because here's what we know about Jesus. Jesus doesn't move through His life selfishly or putting Himself first. The heart and the eyes that Jesus sees His own life through are the heart and the eyes of His Father. He has come to do His Father's will. He desires nothing else, not for Himself or elevation of Himself, but to do that which the Father has bid Him to do. So what about these tassels? What about this healing in Jesus? When we put all of these together, what are we learning? And the only thing I could come up with, and you can debate it whether or not I'm right with this or not, is this, is the perfect obedience of Jesus blesses others. No one who ever wore these tassels ever fully lived without blemish the law of God and did it. No one else refused to follow their own desires, but only His, but Jesus. And it's from that obedience some are blessed, in this case, physically, but we'll also see even more than that, we're going to be blessed spiritually as well. Because Jesus doesn't come just to heal afflictions. Many people died of afflictions. He didn't heal everybody. Jesus was wanting people to see there's more I've come into the world to do. I have come not to condemn the world, but to save the world. To be the Lamb without blemish, the only reason my sacrifice is acceptable from Jesus' perspective is because He is without sin and the Father accepts Him as the sacrifice, and it's by His blood that you and I will receive new life. But here's the trouble. All of these many people who touched the hem of Jesus' garment and were made well, guess what? They didn't want anything else from Him. Not in a selfless kind of way, but in a way that says, all we really want is the healing that You can give. We don't want to accept and follow the full message and embodiment of who You are. We just need you to fix us, and then we'll move on down the road. This is the great tragedy. His people stopped and didn't see anything more than a healer of temporary afflictions, missing that he's indeed the healer that delivers not just healing here, but eternal healing. So what about these cords? What should you and I take away from these cords of Jesus? Well, I would ask you the question. Do you believe Jesus wants more for humanity than simply healing sicknesses? Do you believe for yourself that Jesus wants more for you than simply giving you salvation? And I'd say the answer is a resounding yes. Jesus wants nothing more than to walk with you in this life and you to walk with him in this life. The reminders that the tassels serve is this, is as we follow him, we see what it looks like to walk in the will and the way of the Father. We need him ahead of us to see it, so we're not trusting our eyes and our hearts. We need to follow him. I want to share one scene from The Chosen, if you've watched it. I was able to tease one of the members in early service. There's one who doesn't like it, but I was like, hey, get over it. I'm going to share an example from it. And believe it or not, God does not get angry when Germans show emotions. Okay? Lutherans, do you get this? It's okay to have emotions. Well, here's the scene. It's from season 4, and it involves Matthew, the disciple Matthew, who has been handpicked and chosen by God as one of the 12 to walk with Jesus. And I love how they've cast him. He's a little bit on the spectrum, and he's just maybe a little bit different, but you just fall in love with the character and how they've cast Matthew. Well, there's somebody who comes up to Matthew, one of the 12, and they're overwhelmed with stress, and they have some anxiety, they have some worry, and they're not sure. There's a little confusion about what is to come. And Matthew hears this person and this disciple, and he says, you know, I understand what you feel like. I wake up every day, Matthew says, with anxiety, worry, and certain fears. And here's what I've come to see. When all of these things overwhelm me, I remember that there's only one thing I really have to do today. And that's follow him. And when that sinks in, my anxieties and my worries are displaced. Whatever the moment is, the task, the thing at hand, all I have to do is follow Jesus into this moment. You know, one of the greatest doctrines to not really make it out of the Reformation is the doctrine of vocation, and that's exactly what we're talking about. Follow Jesus into the roles that you have been given by God, whether that be mother, father, friend, co-worker, whatever it is. Follow Jesus into that thing, and when you get done with whatever that thing is and what Jesus needs you to be in it, walk into the next thing. Don't get overwhelmed. Take one thing at a time and walk with Jesus as he has promised to walk with you and never leave you into that thing. Finish that thing and then move on. And when you fail, follow him with his invitation to this table where he says, "Receive my body and blood." that your sins might be forgiven and that you might be made new and strengthened to follow me in the days ahead. I don't know if you need someone to sew tassels onto your outfits or not, but God knows us well enough to know that we are a people who need to be reminded. And my prayer and my hope for you this week is that whatever it is, however the Spirit moves in you, that you would be reminded how blessed you are by the one who obeyed perfectly, and that you would walk with the Spirit and try to follow Him to the next thing. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a gift it is that you have given to us through Jesus Christ. Not only have you, through his death and resurrection, opened heaven to sinners like us, but you have, through his blood, forgiven us. You've answered for our sins through him. But you've also called us to walk in his life, to follow him, to emulate him, and even if it's imperfect, let it be our heart's desire, Lord, to follow you. And when we fall short, Lord, may we follow your invitation to join you at this table or to admit our sin so that you might say these words to us: your sins are forgiven. You are mine. So, Lord, may we walk in the days ahead with you, behind you, noticing your work in our life. We pray this in his name. Amen.